Meta has spent upwards of $50 billion developing the metaverse. But will it pay off? Go inside the company in a new three-part series, From Facebook to Meta, Zuckerberg's Big Bet, in the Tech News Briefing feed from The Wall Street Journal.
In his State of the Union address, President Biden promises Russia will be no match for Western unity.
When the history of this era is written, Putin's war in Ukraine will have left Russia weaker and the rest of the world stronger.
Plus, oil prices surge even as the U.S. taps into its emergency reserves, and a look at why U.S.-China trade tensions could heat up in the coming months. It's Wednesday, March 2nd. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. In a State of the Union address that was strongly influenced by Russia's invasion of Ukraine, President Biden has said America and fellow democracies are locked in a battle with autocracy.
Tonight, we meet as Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, but most importantly, as Americans, with the duty to one another, to America, to the American people, to the Constitution, and an unwavering resolve that freedom will always triumph over tyranny.
Citing coordinated sanctions undertaken with European nations, Biden added that a precipitous drop in the value of the Russian ruble was succeeding in draining the value of Russian President Vladimir Putin's war fund. That said, China's top bank regulator has said this morning that Beijing won't be taking part in the Western financial sanctions on Russia. We'll have much more on the president's address later in the show with WSJ White House reporter Tarini Pardi. In Ukraine, the front line in the country's second-largest city, Kharkiv, holds as Russian forces have resumed airstrikes and continue to pound other cities. This as a senior U.S. defense official said the massive Russian military convoy headed toward the capital Kiev had stalled amid food and fuel shortages and Ukrainian resistance. The official added Russian troops are now regrouping. Limited supply routes are also complicating efforts by the U.S. and other allies to provide weapons to Ukraine. Let the midterm elections begin. Voters in Texas officially kicked off what promises to be a bruising 2022 campaign season last night, with Republican Governor Greg Abbott and Democratic challenger Beto O'Rourke winning their respective primaries. O'Rourke and Abbott, heard here, sparred over Texas's massive energy industry following last year's winter blackout.
Millions of our fellow Texans were without power. They were abandoned by those who were elected to serve and look out for them.
They're talking about imposing the Green New Deal and other restrictions that would destroy the energy jobs that we have in the state of Texas. And I am running for re-election to ensure that those high-paying energy jobs will not be destroyed.
If you're not quite ready for nonstop midterms coverage, don't worry. The next primaries in Ohio and Indiana aren't until the first week of May. And the U.S. is preparing to confront China on its subsidies for certain key industries in a move that could increase trade tensions. Sources say the Biden administration could launch a new investigation that would allow it to take punitive action when trade law has been violated. The White House is also said to be weighing tightened export controls on sensitive technology, as well as heightened scrutiny of private sector U.S. investments in China. In response, a Chinese government advisor told us China has so far refrained from putting any U.S. firms on its entity list, but that can change. Oil prices have surged to multi-year highs amid geopolitical tensions stemming from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Subsequent sanctions on Russia's economy and its energy sector in particular have pushed Brent crude prices to $110 a barrel. And now several countries, including the U.S., have responded by releasing oil from their emergency stockpiles. But will it be enough to cushion against further price increases? Finance reporter Julie Steinberg is here to help make sense of what's going on. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Luke.
What a day. I know sanctions on Russia have something to do with the jump in oil prices we're seeing, but how exactly is that playing out?
Right. There's a collision of forces at play here. Refiners, on the one hand, are hesitant to buy Russian oil, and at the same time, banks are refusing to finance shipments of Russian commodities. That's what oil executives, bankers, and traders are telling us. And then you also have foreign energy companies pulling back from the country at the same time. Shell plans to exit its joint ventures with Gazprom. BP intends to divest its nearly 20% stake in Rosneft, which is the Russian state-controlled oil producer. So all of these forces are colliding, which is why we're seeing the jump.
Right. So much movement, and we're not even, a week into this conflict? So I guess we can't rule out further sanctions on Russia that could place additional constraints on the Russian energy sector.
Right. There's been carve-out so far, and U.S. lawmakers are pressing President Biden to target Russia's energy sector. So far, the administration has avoided that over concerns over propelling oil prices higher. But as Moscow continues in its advance in Ukraine, Republicans and some Democrats are pressing the Biden administration to consider imposing sanctions on the oil and gas industry, which, of course, is the lifeblood of the country's economy, and they want to ban Russian oil imports into the U.S.
Turning to the impact of these sanctions on the Russian energy sector, in his State of the Union address last night, President Biden argued that the U.S. move to release 30 million barrels of oil from its stockpiles would help blunt gas prices here at home.
A Russian dictator invading a foreign country has cost around the world. And I'm taking robust action to make sure the pain of our sanctions is targeted at Russian economy and that we use every tool at our disposal to protect American businesses and consumers.
Julie, I wonder, does the jump in prices that we're seeing overnight suggest the market doesn't believe that that move from President Biden is enough?
There definitely seems to be some skepticism in the market this morning. So energy analysts say that Biden has few options to quickly lower prices given the complexities of the industry supply and demand. So speeding up lease sales, permitting for oil and gas production on federal lands or interstate pipelines would take years of development. And even after you have the U.S. and other members of the International Energy Agency agreeing Tuesday to release supplies from the oil reserves, energy analysts are skeptical. They're saying that you have so much of the supply is currently at risk of disruption that even if you were to have a decent chunk of reserves being released, that may not make a dent, is what one of the analysts told us.
That was finance reporter Julie Steinberg. Julie, thank you.
Thanks so much.
Coming up, President Biden promised an ultimate, if difficult, victory for democracies over autocracy in his State of the Union address. But can his message of American unity hold up in the face of simmering divisions in D.C.? We'll get analysis from Washington after the break.
Meta has spent upwards of $50 billion developing the metaverse. But will it pay off for the company, its investors, and for CEO Mark Zuckerberg?
Over time, I hope that we are seen as a metaverse company. And I want to anchor our work and our identity on what we are building towards.
Meta's trillion-dollar business and how we use the internet could hang in the balance. Go inside the company in a new three-part series, From Facebook to Meta, Zuckerberg's Big Bet, in the Tech News Briefing feed from The Wall Street Journal.
President Biden's State of the Union address last night might have looked a lot different just weeks ago, but he took the podium to talk about more than U.S. politics, stressing the vital importance of domestic and international unity in the face of Russian President Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine.
He thought he could divide us at home, in this chamber, in this nation. He thought he could divide us in Europe as well. But Putin was wrong.
But in a midterm election year, foreign crises can only occupy so much of the attention in Washington, and it was clear from Biden's speech he was also testing out messages that he and congressional Democrats may try to run on as they seek to hold onto control of Congress. Here to help us break down the State of the Union speech is Journal White House reporter Tarini Pardee. Hey, Tarini.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Could you paint a picture for us of the scene on Capitol Hill last night? Because visual signals of support for Ukraine really just seem to be everywhere, do they not?
That's right. We saw a lot of lawmakers wearing blue and yellow, some wearing gold, the colors of Ukraine's flag, to convey their support for the country. We also saw a lot of lawmakers not wearing their masks this time around. We also saw the president not wearing a mask. This comes after the attending physician of Congress told lawmakers that the masks could be optional given the new CDC prevention guidelines. So, you know, we saw a few different things than what we've seen in the past.
Tarini, you've covered a number of State of the Union addresses through the years. How unusual was it that signals of support for a foreign country played such a prominent role in a speech like this? And do you think it served Biden well to tap into that support?
It definitely was unusual. And another thing that is becoming more and more unusual that we saw during the speech was Republican members, including members of House Republican leadership, standing up as the president was talking about Ukraine, standing up and applauding the president. Those signs of a bipartisan unity that we used to see a lot in these types of addresses have sort of dwindled over time.
Yeah, turning to the specific types of support the U.S. is going to provide to Ukraine. Did President Biden announce anything new?
We did get a couple of new announcements from the president. He said that in addition to the sanctions that the U.S. and its allies have already imposed on Russia, that the U.S. would close American airspace to all Russian flights. He also said that his administration, the Justice Department in particular, would be setting up a task force to go after Russian oligarchs. But overall, the president warned Putin that, you know, the West would hold him accountable and that Russia would be more isolated than ever before.
Beyond the impact of sanctions, we are also dealing with supply chain issues and inflation now. What did President Biden have to say on those economic challenges?
We saw the sort of this ongoing shift that the administration has been trying to implement in terms of its messaging on inflation and the economy. It's been sort of an awkward balance for them the last few months, because as we've seen inflation rise, we've also seen some more positive economic numbers. But then again, we've seen poll after poll say that Americans aren't quite feeling those sort of more positive economic numbers on job creation, for example. This is something that the president tried to use his speech to talk about. He's tried to take a more sympathetic tone, saying he understands the pain that people are feeling with these rising costs. And so he tried to, again, repeat some of that sort of more empathetic tone. But he also said that he thought the best way to counter those higher prices would be to boost domestic production. He mentioned specifically automobiles and semiconductors, also investments in infrastructure.
Turning to a few other issues, President Biden really seemed to take a more moderate stance on a couple of hot-button topics, including border security and funding the police.
We should all agree the answer is not to defund the police. It's to fund the police. Fund them. Fund them. Fund them with resources and training.
Tarini, how is this strategy being received by fellow Democrats? Is this what the party is actually asking the president to articulate, or is it a tone he's setting on his own?
This was a very interesting line from his speech, given the division within the Democratic Party on this issue. When the slogan defund the police started becoming popular during the last election among activists and some progressive Democrats, the sort of more moderate wing thought that it was costing them some seats. So we've heard from vulnerable members say that, you know, this is not a slogan that the Democratic Party should try to adopt. In fact, they should try to emphasize law enforcement. So the president clearly sided with centrists on this issue and tried to make his position clear. Obviously unclear if how much of the party will go along with it.
That was Journal White House reporter Tarini Pardi. Tarini, thanks for staying up for us.
Thank you.
And finally, speaking of clear divisions, look no further than baseball, though not on the diamond. Major League Baseball has canceled this year's opening day and the first two series of the regular season after owners and players failed to agree on a new labor contract. It's the first work stoppage in baseball since a 1994 strike resulted in the cancellation of the World Series and led to years of reduced attendance. Tony Clark, the head of the MLB Players Association, voiced the frustration felt by players.
You only get so many opening days. You're fortunate enough to get one in the big leagues. If you're an average major leaguer, you might see four of them. Having an opportunity to play as long as humanly possible and find yourself in a world where now for the second time in 2 years, the schedule is shorter than it otherwise should have been or could have been is a problem.
And we could be waiting a while for this year's first pitch. Players say they're ready to hold out as long as necessary. And that's What's News for Wednesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.